everything that we do that drives our success is better when we manage our energy.
Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. And this week on the program, I'm joined by Michelle Cederberg. She is the author of Energy Now, Small Steps to an Energetic Life. But we're going to talk about her most recent book, The Success Energy Equation, How to Regain Focus, Recharge Your Life, and Really Get Stuff Done. Of course, stuff is replaced by something else, but we talked about a whole bunch of things, not just something else, but a whole bunch of things during this conversation. I really want to get to it. It's, again, a wonderful opportunity to talk to somebody who really gets this stuff, who's really into productivity like I am, and, you know, especially a fellow Canadian. So here we go. Here's my conversation with Michelle Cederberg here on the Productivityist Podcast. Michelle, thanks for joining me today.
Happy to be here.
So, the success energy equation, how to regain focus, recharge your life, and really get stuff done. I want to avoid the bleep from my producer. Although it's interesting, as just before we recorded this, yesterday I started watching that Netflix series, The History of Swear Words.
Right.
And there's actually a whole episode focused. Episode two is focused on the second to last word in your subtitle. And it's really fascinating how they say, you know, this word is just like two steps away from crap. Really, that's really all it is at this point. The history of it's really quite phenomenal. Thanks for taking the time to join me on the show today. I really appreciate it.
I'm really super happy to be here, Mike.
So before we got started, we started talking about one of the things that I love to dive into when it comes to productivity. And when I saw, you know, the book, I'm like, okay, this is, I want to talk to Michelle about this. But what got you into focusing on the idea of energy as part of the equation? Because I think a lot of people leave that lying on the table and they don't take into account nearly as much as they should.
Yeah, a lot of people leave that lying on the table, but my background in health and kinesiology and personal training kind of put it at the foundation of almost everything I do. And so through the years, as I've been sharing my messages of resilience and stress management and life balance, I realize that energy is a key piece that most people want, but they skip over it because they can.
One of the things that we talked about, again, leading into things was I talk about mode-based living and mode-based work. And one of the categories, it spells the word treat, and E stands for energy. And we were chatting about this, and I love the fact that I can look at my to-do list and say, okay, well, which tasks are going to be low energy, which tasks are going to be high energy, and I trust my body clock and all that stuff. But I don't have a regular energy for this. And I wanted to bring this up to you because when it comes to that kind of stuff, I feel that normal energy kind of feels like it's a bit of, in the context of my work, feels like it could be a bit of a cop-out because it doesn't give you definition. It doesn't give you anything definitive to lean towards. It's kind of like small, medium, and large, right? Like medium's kind of like the middle of the road. Whereas with productivity, I feel like you either need to say, okay, I don't have a lot of energy, so I'm going to lean towards low, or I do have a lot of energy, I'm going to lean towards high. I want to talk to you about like the understanding energy and how that factors into this success energy equation. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Gosh, like how much time do we have? See, the energy piece to me, the success energy equation, just kind of as an overview, it's you know, success equals setting clear and exciting goals, which are a function of the belief you have in yourself and the mm-hmm. discipline to do the work, all raised to the power of awesome by the energy within. So, and the energy being physical, mental, emotional, cognitive energy. So everything that we do that drives our success is better when we manage our energy. But most of us kind of just put our heads down and do the work, and we don't stop to think about how the physical body and the brilliant mind in it are going to help us do all of our tasks and to-dos and even creative work better. Mm. So yeah, in terms of that normal energy right down there in the middle, that's kind of that energy that drives us all day long. It's just that low whir of the engine that just keeps on going, and we have to nurture that.
I want to talk about the motivation matrix because that's one thing that kind of stood out when I was going through the book. I'm big on, you know, obviously you hear me talk about frameworks and such. What can you talk a bit about the motivation matrix? Because you've got these kind of definitions in there, and I really like the idea of having a sense of, okay, what's your motivation type? I talked to Todd Henry about the motivation code on a previous episode, but this is different.
Well, and I'm not suggesting that we all have one motivation type. We might have an area where we spend more time, but in my motivation matrix, I kind of grid your belief in yourself and your task against the discipline you have to do that task. Mm-hmm. And the four are the dreamer, the driver, the seeker, and the grinder. So the dreamer is a high belief in themselves, but low discipline. So they've got all these ideas, but they're not executing. They need you to help them, right? Mm-hmm. The seeker is low discipline and low belief in themselves. So they not quite clear what they want to do, or they're distracted, or they just haven't gotten clear. The grinder is low belief in themselves and the task, but high discipline. And that's a lot of the frontline workers, I would call during the pandemic, you know, they may not love what they're doing, but they do it because they need to, because they're called to it, or because they need to take care of the family or whatever it might be. And that quadrant that we all aspire to is that high belief in self and task, and then high discipline to do the freaking work, if you will. And that's the driver. But what I talk about in the book is that all of us will fall into each of those categories depending on what's in front of us,
right,
and depending on the energy we have at a given time. And it's good to get to know what's happening when you're in each of those areas. You can pay attention. Like, what do I need to be doing differently so I can move into driver? Or maybe this isn't the right thing for me to work on because every time I do it, I have no energy. It's not resonant for me. It doesn't excite me. So it's a good little test to see where you're spending your time and energy, if you will.
Another framing device you talk about in the book, and you're talking about like thinking and saying, okay, how do I get out of this? How do I, you know, move forward into the right, you know, the right type, depending on the situation. You also talk about this when it comes to shifting beliefs. You've got the four R's of shifting beliefs. And again, this is just a lot of this stuff just resonates with me in terms of just... It helps you get out of your own way. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think, you know, by having some kind of framing device or mechanism, I mean, I love that kind of stuff. So can you talk a little bit about, first off, why you would need to use the four R's? Like, where does it come in handy? And then touch on those a little bit.
Yeah, and I talk about the four R's in the chapter around belief. And that's one of my favorite chapters in the book because it really does help you get those goals done, because it doesn't really matter how big the goal you set for yourself is if you don't believe in your ability to crush that goal. And so with the beliefs, all of us have this ability to get in our way. We question things, we doubt, we compare ourselves to others. We have these messagings from our past replaying in our head. And sometimes it gets in the way of us moving forward with stuff that we know we can do. And so it's just a simple little four-step reminder. And it starts with recognizing when your thoughts become unproductive, because we all know when that little inner critic is getting a bit vocal. It usually happens when we're stepping outside that comfort zone, or when we're getting close to accomplishing a task, or when we're doing something that's new and scary. So recognize when your thoughts become unproductive. Just recognize it. And then remind yourself in that instant of your past wins, your current successes, your enduring capabilities, because every single one of us is capable of amazing things if we just stop and look at what we've accomplished from days gone by to now and what we're capable of in the future. You can remind yourself of the schooling you got through, or the illness you got through, or the divorce you got through, or the business that you built, or, you know, you name it. Surviving the pandemic, for gosh sakes, business-wise or health-wise. If you did it before, you can do it again. And we need to do more of that, because our tendency is towards a negativity bias where if we're feeling kind of low, we will focus on all the things that aren't going well and all the things we should be doing better and all the things we ought to be paying more attention to, blah, blah, blah. So then the third one is my favorite R. That's reframe your negative thinking into what is possible. And the beauty of this is we just have to stop and just ask the question in a different way, because if we're feeling stuck in the mire, if we're having a tough day, it's very easy for the inner critic to go, ugh, I can't do this. And as soon as you say those words verbally or in your head, your brain says, all right, then my work here is done. And yeah, it stops trying to come up with any solutions for you, because your brain wants you to be successful. So if you feed it the right kind of information, it's going to do that. So the little reframe there is to ask yourself, how might I? Little appreciative inquiry. How might I accomplish this thing? How might I overcome this hurdle? How might I get out of my own way? How might I find the money? How might I? Because as soon as we frame it as a question, the brain goes, well, I don't know the answer yet, but I'm going to go in there and start doing some work. I'll get back to you. And then you start to become more aware of your surroundings and the possibilities of how that question can be answered. Now, the challenge is we're often an instant gratification society. Mm. And so when we make the decision for change, we say we want it to be done right now. I mean, the same thing happened to me this morning as I was going through some of your things, the Daily Driver. I'm like, gosh, I've got so many things in front of me. I want it all to be done now. So the fourth R is the most important for longevity. Repeat, repeat, repeat. Every time you feel that that voice coming up that's telling you you can't, recognize, remind, reframe, and keep on doing it. It's pretty powerful.
And the thing about both of those things you just talked about, the matrix and the four R's, is that they're accessible. They're simple. We just have to get out of our own way. How have you experienced or noticed when you're building this together, when you're working with people, when you're speaking to people, that they tend to get in their own way when it comes to this kind of stuff? Because, I mean, I see it a lot. And how do you kind of, do you find a way to help people kind of go, hey, listen, you know, like, I mean, obviously the book touches on a lot of this stuff, but here's how you can avoid getting sidetracked. Here's how you can get a better perspective around this so that you get out of your own way.
Well, the first thing I would say is that we are all so busy processing life. We're connected to our devices 24/7, and we're trying now with lockdown and everything the pandemic has brought, we're really connected to our tech. So we're not necessarily fully present to life around us. And when we get into that autopilot mode, it can be hard for us to, you know, really get clear about what's important to us, or we can lose sight of that. And so we can feel that energy drain and we start to doubt. And that brings me to the second point is that when we don't manage our energy well, when we don't get enough sleep, when we don't get enough movement, when we aren't eating healthfully, when we're not hydrated, when we're not connecting with people in a positive way or a regular way, when we're not getting enough recovery through the day, our physical, mental, emotional energy goes down. And I don't know about you, but my coping mechanisms tend to go down quite a bit when I'm not taking care of myself. And anything that, you know, might normally have been a surmountable problem looks like a mountain that's, you know, impossible to climb. So we have to take care of ourselves so that we have a better mindset and energy to tackle the tough stuff and tackle the day to day.
You know, it's funny, as we're discussing this, I told you that my wife and I just had a little bit of a mini getaway. And one of the things that I did pick up again, which I've struggled with so many times, is just an exercise routine. And it's because, again, speaking of reframing, it's something I've had a negative association with. Oh, you're not an athlete. You're not a fit person. Okay, well then, you know, what's the point? But I've kind of been thinking not only more about that, but also the level of energy that I need to do all that I need to do. And it's, and again, as a speaker, and you know this, when you're virtually doing this stuff, you can't feed off the energy of the crowd. It's just, there's that separation there. It's harder to do. Whereas if you're on a stage, you can at least, you know, and sometimes even, I mean, I remember when I did comedy, there'd be less people in the audience sometimes than there was on stage, but at least there was this connection there. Right. But what's interesting for me is I've said, okay, there's always been something that I've put in my way to keep me from exercising. I just wrote about this, and I know, I mean, this is obviously weeks, you know, since I wrote this, but the idea of having a frame for when I want to work out. So getting a good lay of the land when it comes to my day and saying, okay, my son's going to be home at 3. I work until at least 3. My second shift starts after the kids go to bed, 'cause I'm a night owl. My son will want to play video games, so I'll link to it in the show notes. The blog post is called 3 p.m. Weather Permitting, and you know, living on Vancouver Island, weather permitting from October to May is like, it's probably going to rain. So I have this plan there, but if it's raining, then I have an alternate plan. Like, it's always good to have options, because then I can actually make the choice. But unless you put a stake in the ground and then tap into willpower, which I love the fact, by the way, that you talk about in the book that you're into it, because there's so many people that I find that are like, oh, willpower is not a real thing. It's you know, I mean, it's not something that it's kind of something that doesn't really exist. having that mechanism, that plan in place allows me to gear myself up for it, to prepare for it so that I know that, okay, I'm going to be able to treat myself better, because unless I'm getting exercise, I mean, we're not getting any younger, I'm not going to be able to do all the things I need and want to do.
Absolutely. I say that I exercise for my mind and my body reaps the benefits, because, you know, especially with having to keep track of everything and the work that we do as speaker, coach, you know, podcast or whatever it might be, there's a lot of moving parts. And if you're physically and mentally drained, you're not going to be able to get through the day. And so in the book, I refer to Jim Lohr and Tony Schwartz's work on the yep. powerful engagement of the corporate athletes. We need to reframe why we exercise. And for me, I do love movement, but I also know that if, you know, the bigger part of it is if I need to be, you know, firing on all cylinders for all the things I need to keep track of in my business and my life, I can't do that if I'm running on empty.
Right.
I you know, we can be successful without it, but it comes at a cost. And I think that there's so much research out there on how physical activity improves cognition and, you know, mental wellness. I can't see why we wouldn't make it a priority simply for that.
And now let's take a break from my conversation with Michelle to talk about this episode's sponsors. Look, shopping for new clothes can be time-consuming, it can be tedious, and it can be expensive. Fortunately, Stitch Fix makes it easy to find the clothes you love. Now, you're ready to get back outside, and maybe your closet says otherwise. Well, now you can get some much-needed style updates with the help of Stitch Fix. All right, so I didn't put Stitch Fix through the paces for the purposes of this promotional piece, because somebody else really wanted to give that a go. And so Vanessa, who works with me here at Productivityist, she wanted to really see what Stitch Fix had to offer. And so I invited her here to share her experience. So Vanessa, thanks for joining me.
Of course. Thanks, Mike. And thanks for letting me try out Stitch Fix.
So tell me about the process as you were kind of getting into what Stitch Fix could send your way.
Oh my goodness. The process could not be easier, and it was actually fun. I don't really love shopping all the time, so being able to get some awesome clothing items sent directly to me was something I was super into. And when you log on, they have all these quizzes and visuals, and you can talk about your style and colors and textures. They even do things like accessories and shoes and hats and jewelry. And so it was really fun to answer these questions and think about what is my style and, hey, what do I actually need for my wardrobe as perhaps we move out into doing a little bit more in the world these days.
So when you got your shipment, is it like, that's it? That's your shipment? That's what you like, how does that experience? Because I've not used it because I'm, you know, where I am, I can't use it, but where you are, you can't. So was it like, you know, you ordered it, it arrived, and then that's it?
You know what? I ordered it and it ended up coming in. It was shipped out really quickly. I got notified that it was here. They have great service and communication back and forth. You go through, you try on the items, you feel them out, you see, hey, do I want this? Do I not want this? And then you keep what you love, which for me was this pretty green sweater. And then you send back the other items, but you tell them, oh, it was a little too big, or it was a little too tight, or the sleeves weren't as long. And then next time they send you the next opportunity based on your feedback, which I think is awesome, because time and time again, you're going to just keep getting better and better, more aligned pieces to make your wardrobe work.
So not only are you getting used to Stitch Fix and you're getting to know them, but they're getting to know you through this process as well.
Definitely. It's very personalized and catered. And it was so interesting just looking at the questions and all the things they asked, and a variety of things go into every item. And no wonder they can really hone in on finding you the best pieces for what you're trying to build in your wardrobe.
Well, one thing's really cool is that you don't have to have a subscription either. You can try Stitch Fix once, or you could set up automatic deliveries, and then you just pay a $20 styling fee for each box, right? But that gets credited towards the pieces you keep, And then there's no hidden fees. So it's, everything's kind of done up front. They make it easy on all fronts from the sounds of it.
Oh, they totally make it easy and they're transparent. You can have a box come every couple of weeks or every other month or even every couple of months. I think in the beginning, I would like a lot of boxes the next few weeks just to get it figured out and figure out some of the best pieces I want to use. And then I could see how that's a great thing to look forward to and spread it out more. But they do a great job with the way they organize it and how they send it out to you.
So I may be misinterpreting this entirely, but it sounds like you're a fan of Stitch Fix.
I am definitely a fan of Stitch Fix, and I think everybody should go give them a try.
All right, so if you want to get started with Stitch Fix, go to stitchfix.com/timecrafting, and you'll get 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. That's stitchfix.com/timecrafting, and you'll get that 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. Again, one more time, stitchfix.com/timecrafting. Get that discount. Head there today. Vanessa did. She loves it. Okay, if you're anything like me, you struggle with your marketing. I mean, I can write, I can talk, I can do all that stuff, but when it comes to promoting and marketing, I am just not that great at it. Well, this is where Otis can help you out. Meet Otis. Otis is a digital marketing assistant to help target, optimize, and measure campaigns for entrepreneurs and small business owners like you and like me. You can create Facebook, Instagram, and Google ads all from the Otis app. And Otis's AI technology intuitively optimizes your daily budget to whichever platform is performing best. Otis can help you get started by creating custom templates for you based on analyzing your point of sale, website data, and available inventory. And you can manage and track all your results in real time from the Otis app. And Otis users, get this, they can see results for as little as $10 a day. Now, if you have an online store, let's say you have a Shopify store, well, if so, then Meet Otis is exactly what you need. Meet Otis helps plenty of online retailers every day through Shopify. So if you're ready to supercharge your online advertising, then get started with Otis today. Otis is offering listeners of the Productivityist podcast a 14-day free trial plus $50 in ad credit. All you need to do is go to meetotis.com/timecrafting to take advantage of this offer, but do it today. That's right. Head to meetotis, that's meetotis.com/timecrafting to get your 14-day free trial plus a $50 credit just to get started. So head to meetotis.com/timecrafting. So what are you waiting for? Head to meetotis.com/timecrafting to get started today. Anxiety has played a role in a lot of people's lives for many years. And recently I was reading about a friend who talked about time anxiety, the idea of like, am I using my time to the greatest ability? Am I missing out on too many things? And again, this idea of time anxiety really resonated with me, because when you're anxious and when you're feeling, you know, anxious about the time that you have and the time that you may not be using to the best of your ability, it can interfere with your happiness. That's one thing that can interfere with your happiness, but there are a myriad of things that can do that. And if something is preventing you from achieving your goals, well, BetterHelp can help. You see, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can connect in a safe and private online environment, which is incredibly convenient. You can start communicating in under 48 hours with your own licensed professional therapist. And by the way, if it doesn't work out with that therapist, maybe the scheduling's off, maybe time zones are weird, well, get this. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. Here's another thing to keep in mind, that BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's not self-help, it's professional counseling done securely online. You can send a message to your counselor anytime and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. You can do this all without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. Now, there are a wide range of specializations that these professional counselors are available to help you with. Depression, stress, anxiety, as I mentioned, relationships, sleeping, trauma, grief, and many more. And remember, anything you share is confidential. It's also convenient. It's professional. It's affordable. BetterHelp has you covered. And there are so many people that have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
What are you waiting for? I want you to start living a happier life today. So as a listener of the Productivities Podcast, you'll get 10% off your first month just by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/timecrafting. So join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/timecrafting. Do it today. And now let's get back to the program. Let's talk about willpower for a second. I'm a big Green Lantern fan. I love the idea of the willpower. I mean, you talked about the daily driver, the thing that is in the center of it, which is where you could use it for your calendar. You could use it for whatever. We'll put a link in the show notes of how you can download it for free if you want. But I call it the power ring because it's a circle. It gives you power, but also a bit of fan service as a Green Lantern fan because the Green Lantern has a power ring. What role does willpower play, do you feel, in all of this? I'll tell you what it is to me. It's the thing that allows me to know that I can do it. It's just like, okay, if even at the end of the day, if I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like I can get it done, but and again, it's about managing it too. Just like energy, right? It's about managing, like, okay, well, I'm going to do my lighter lifting stuff earlier in the day because I'm more of a night owl. So by the time the evening hits or the later part of the day hits, I have enough willpower to do the bigger stuff. So I think it's a mechanism or a tool for me that gives me strengthens the resolve and the belief that I can actually do the things I need to do to be successful.
Yeah. And I think I was thinking about it in a slightly different way. Cause for me, yes. Willpower is about doing the freaking work, right? Mm. You know, we talked about before the show, we talked about Stephen Pressfield's book, Do the Work. And I'm a big fan. I often say that I put things on my to-do list. I cross them off. I do them just so I can be done with them, you know, so I can say, yes, let's get it done. Cause you're not always going to want to feel like doing the work. Most of the time you don't.
Right.
You had the need to, ought to, and want to. Mm-hmm. It's the ought to's that I work hard on with, like, I just want to get that stuff off my list and dig in, right? And just get it done because it's the hard stuff.
Right. You know, it's funny. On the video that I have for this, where I talk about the productivity ROI, which I think only people who have the daily driver get access to, someone commented, and it was a valid comment. They said, why would you write down the ought to stuff? I don't understand why that would go there. I haven't responded as of this recording yet, but I know what I'm going to say. It's like, well, we haven't made a decision necessarily, a concrete decision on whether it falls into the need or the want. Often, an ought to should be a want, right? Initially, like, it's something that if it was a need to do, I think I would probably be jumping on it a lot faster, because want to do seem to some degree being a bit more, they sometimes take a little bit longer. Sometimes there's a lot more to unpack, but also they sometimes seem a little bit selfish and, like you said, harder. So the need to do's, you could fill those up pretty quickly and go, oh, I need to send this email. I need to do this podcast artwork. I need to do this. But the want to do's, they're the bigger stuff. And those are the things that I think you need to have, though, that energy, that drive, that mechanism in place that's going to allow you to make those things happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Digging in and doing the work, even if you don't want to, because you know the results it'll bring.
Let's, as we get close to wrapping up, I just want to touch a little bit on the idea of hydration, because I struggle with this too. Now, I did just spend, before recording this, literally 2.5 days at a spa. So hydration was not an issue. In fact, we did some, hydropathy or whatever. We went through the whole, it was quite amazing. What if someone is struggling with, there's apps that do this, like Water Reminder and stuff like that. But it's those simple things that, you know, you don't necessarily, you're drinking a cup of coffee instead of having a glass of water. Like, what tactics do you help people? Like, can you share with people that are saying, hey, look, I know I need to hydrate. I'm not doing it. What's the reason that, like, what's going to kick me into high gear so that I do it?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you're mentioning such a simple tactic, because when it comes to energy, if you're not drinking enough water, that is a no-brainer game changer right there. The first thing is to decide how much is enough. And there's nowhere in the research that says, you know, 8 cups of water a day is the right amount, but it's a good amount. It's a safe amount. It's a good start. You need more if you're more active. You need more if you're a bigger person. But most of us don't get that, surprisingly enough. Yes, we are caffeinating and drinking sugary beverages. We're going to get some hydration from that. But I'm always a big fan of good old H2O, free of the caffeine and sugar. So I start my day even before I, you know, after I brush my teeth, I have one glass of water right there in the bathroom, get it in me, chug it down, away we go. And then throughout the day, I have water nearby, and I have a paper checklist because, like you, I'm a big believer in putting pen to paper and just, you know, having it there. I'm probably going to add it to my daily driver now. But yeah, to just throughout the day. And if you're sitting down, for instance, at lunch, and you might normally have some other beverage besides water, start with water. And at dinner, if you're going to have wine with dinner, start with a glass of water. After you've exercised or before you've exercised, get that water in you. Just have those sips. And it doesn't have to be a full cup, you know, just kind of throughout the day. You know, I have a water bottle on my desk, so I'm reminded, and I have one in my car, so I'm reminded.
You'll never guess what's on my water bottle. I have two of them, and they both have the Green Lantern symbol on them. I got it. One is a gift. One is one I bought on my own, and one was given to me as a gift. And it was just, again, those subtle. Are you big, real quick, are you big on visual avatars, like visual things that are kind of like that will, you know, act as a trigger?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Coming up with those things that as soon as you look at them, it's like, oh, here we go. Yeah. Lights you up.
Before I let you go, one last question, which may seem counterintuitive. And actually it's a theme with some of the other discussions I've had today. Seeing as today is my listening day and I've been talking to a lot of people, but one thing that's come, I gotta say, in every single one of my conversations is the idea of slowing down, which seems completely, completely not to me, because I mean, I've studied this for well over a decade now and I know it to be true, but the idea of slowing down seems incredibly counterintuitive and to some even counterproductive. Why? And with energy, people are like, well, energy shouldn't be just go, go, go. Like you're moving. Like, what does slowing down have to do with the success energy equation? Can you?
I think it could probably be one of the most overlooked, but most powerful things that we all need to do. And, you know, having, you know, this is coming out, I think you said first quarter of 2020, we've had a few months now to just kind of settle into the year. I want you to think about, you know, January, like where we are right now. We're heading into a new year, but it's still not, you know, we're still not beyond the pandemic, and you know,
tons of uncertainty. Yeah,
tons of uncertainty. And so we don't have those times to just sit and get clear. I say get present to the mess. We're likely moving forward, working on the wrong things at the wrong time. You know, most of us, I would venture to say that most of us, whether we realize it or not, needed to do or should be doing some sort of a reset at the start of 2021 to ask ourselves, is what I wanted last year the same as what I want now? Has life changed enough that I need to reconsider my options? You know, as you and I both being self-employed, that's definitely the case with the pandemic. I'm normally on a plane every week. And so that power of pause is to just sit and get present with yourself, to listen to what your mind and body are telling you, to be aware of the niggling thoughts that are coming around, because we ignore them because we're driving through the space of the day with, you know, attached to our devices and just moving from one thing to the next. So I think it's the most powerful thing that we can add to our daily, you know, tasks, if you will.
Michelle, before I let you go, I tend to ask this of almost every guest. Sometimes we don't get to it, but in this case, I'm going to get to it. If someone wants to take one simple action or one simple approach when they're done listening to the conversation today that we've just had towards, you know, regaining their focus, recharging lives, and really getting crap done, what's the one thing, one simple action they can take that's going to start them in the right direction?
Well, it's a question that I have been asking myself this week. And as a coach, you know, it's something I ask of all of my coaching clients. What do you want? Just to stop long enough and ask yourself, what do I want for myself with my career, with my family, with my health right now, this year, circumstances of the art? What do I want? And then just stop and start paying attention to the answers. Might not come right away. You might get more clear about the things you don't want, but pay attention to all of it. What do I want for myself now, next week, next month, the end of this year? It's a powerful question.
Michelle, the book is called The Success Energy Equation, How to Regain Focus, Recharge Your Life, and Really Get Stuff Done. Where can people pick up this book, and where can people keep up with you and your work?
Well, of course, they can get it at Amazon, but if you go to successenergybook.com, it's kind of a one-stop for me and my speaking business and my social media channels and buying the book and seeing what other books I have and saying hi to me if you like, successenergybook.com. productivityspodcast.com.
Michelle, thanks for taking the time today to join me on the Productivities Podcast.
It's been a real pleasure, Mike. Thanks.
Big thanks to Michelle Cederberg for joining me on the program. Again, pick up her latest book, The Success Energy Equation, wherever books are sold as well. You can also learn about all the things we talked about in more detail by just checking out the links in the show notes, where you can do at any of the podcast apps that this podcast is available on, including the one you're listening to right now. So whether that's Spotify or whether it's Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Google Podcasts or wherever, not only can you access the links that I share in the show notes, but you can also subscribe to the podcast. And I encourage you to do so. That way you don't miss a single episode of the program. And you can also more easily go back into the archives and listen to other episodes featuring guests like Gretchen Rubin, Neera Eyal, Derek Sivers. The list goes on and on and on. There's over 370 plus episodes in the archives. You don't want to miss those episodes, and you don't want to miss the ones coming up. So again, subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to your regular podcast subscriptions. That's it for this episode. Thanks so much to Michelle for joining me. Thanks to you for joining me on this episode. And until next time, this is Mike Vardy, the host of the Productivityist Podcast, reminding you to stop guessing and start going. See you later.